We are thankful to see each one here this morning. We certainly desire your prayers. We're going to go to 1 Timothy. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And before we begin, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. May your will be accomplished through it, Father, that we could see lost souls saved and your people drawing close to you. And Father, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Father, we know that you want us to be the light in this world that you've called us to be. And Father, so many times we look to be that by our mindset and not by what your word has taught us. Help us to follow your word in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And notice what he says here. A lot of people say, we're to pray for the kings and the people in authority. Notice the context of the prayer. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, that the rulers of this world would not interfere with our relationship with God. That's the prayer. I hear some people, make the statement, well, we should pray for the president. And I say, we do. We do all the time, but we need to know the context of what that prayer is about. That prayer is that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we desire, for all people to come to the knowledge of the truth in Christ, that they be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, I want to stop reading in verse 6. He talks about Christ, how he's come and gave himself for our salvation, the ransom, that he would be testified to the world in due time. And now, as we read that, I want to come back and maybe just ask some questions. In life, what did you want to be? Think about that for just a moment. When I was real young, I wanted to be a baseball player. It's amazing that when you're young, you think about things and you want to be something extravagant or something. And even after a baseball player, I wanted to write songs and be a songwriter and things of that nature. And I kind of chased those dreams for a time. And those things that I wanted to be. But yet, as I trusted the Lord and knew what God had done for me, and then I started to research in the scriptures of what God wanted me to be, my desires changed. I didn't want to be famous anymore. Riches were not the focus. It was not, the real thing. And even a lot of times in life, there's even a lot of people in churches say, oh, you want to be a doctor. You want to be a lawyer. You want to have this career, and you want to make this money. And it's about making your mark upon the earth and all these different things. But as you draw closer to Christ, you kind of learn that there's more important things. It doesn't mean you can't be a doctor, but your reasoning for being a doctor probably changes. It's not the income, it's not the prestige or the title. Even being a lawyer would be different in what you're looking for and what you're after in life. That when you know the Lord, what you really seek is you seek a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord. That's what you want. That's what your desire is. And so your priorities change. And what you see here with Christ and what he desires for us is a change in the way that we look at things, a change in the way that we seek things. And as God's people, what we really want is to live a quiet and peaceable life, serving God in all godliness and honesty. Being a good neighbor, being somebody that's dependable, being somebody that shines the light and the love of Christ in other people's lives. And I even began to look, and even the people that have the greatest impact in my life, as I was gaining age and gaining knowledge with the Lord, I noticed that the people that had the greatest impact in my life was not some famous person somewhere. It wasn't some rich person somewhere, financially speaking. It wasn't some politician or all these other things that you could look at. And a lot of people look at those things and they say, well, I want to be, you know, a George Washington. I want to be this person or that person. If God seems that to be the case, that's fine to fill those places. But yet at the same time, what we seek is a quiet and peaceable life. I want to ask us today, is that the things that we seek? Is it what we're after? To know the importance of family, that's taught in the Scripture. The importance of a husband and wife and their relationship. The importance of the relationship between parents and their children. The importance of a relationship with our neighbors and how we fellowship with one another. And even as the church and our fellowship there. What do we desire out of life? Are we chasing things of this world and think, well, if I get this or I get that, I'll be happy? Or is godliness with contentment what we're seeking? What are we after? Even here, you look here, the praying for the kings and those that are in authority is not that they pass some law that lifts us up in power or gives us some certain esteem. That's not the goal. The goal is I want to live a quiet and peaceable life. I want to be able to lead my family in the way of the Lord, live godly, be a good neighbor, share the gospel with others. But it's not about gaining stuff for ourselves, is it? I just want to be left alone. I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to be able to live godly and honesty and be the person that God has called me to be. And I'm not looking for riches. I'm not looking for prestige. I'm not looking to be known by everybody. I just want to live a life that be honorable and pleasing to the Lord. And that's all I want. That's all I need. And the prayer that you see there, and the desire that we see in the Scriptures is something so different than what the world seeks. The world seeks so many different things, and you could go and you could dissect that into many different levels. You could dissect that into people who chase money. You could dissect that into people who chase power. You could dissect that into all the political things and how we try to get certain people elected to do what we want them to do and all these other things. But in the eyes of God, you don't see a whole lot of political things here. You just see we just want to be able to serve God. That's all we want. That's all we desire. We just want to love our families. We want to live an honest, quiet, and peaceable life. And it should be the life that we still want as God's people. But yet there's a lot of things that you don't see there. You see a lot of people pushing for their own political aspirations. And when I say that, I'm not talking about necessarily politics out in the world. There's even a lot of times politics within churches. As I know those of us that are older, we've probably seen that. Well, we got to get this movement going and we got to push for this. And no, I just want the will of God done. It's all we want. Whatever God says, that's what I want. Turn with me over to the book of Titus. Just a couple pages over. Titus chapter 2. He's going to teach here in the first part of this chapter some things about life and what we desire out of life and even how to teach people in the church how to live godly. And there's some that's given to the men, some that's given to the women. And both these things we can look at and gain some knowledge from it. But in verse 1 of Titus chapter 2, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." A lot of people like to talk about doctrine. This is doctrine. This is something given in the church that God has called us to be. And he talks about beginning with the aged men. Of course, the men are to be leaders in the church. And they're to have certain positions and places of men that can fill these things. And they're to teach. But he said, the aged men, be sober. Let's stop right there. How many men are sober? And I know that's not just talking about alcohol and drugs, but it would certainly cover that. Alcohol and drugs diminish your capability of thinking and doing things in a rational sense and fashion. But also to be sober-minded to where our mind is controlled. I don't let my anger control me. I don't let all my emotions control me. I don't let my desires and things of that nature control me. I can be sober-minded. And that's taught throughout the Scripture on so many times over so many different books. Also, that the aged men not only be sober, but grave. Again, we're not seeking to beat upon our chest and lift ourselves up. We're to be humble. We're to be a humble people. Also, temperate. And temperate goes into so many different things. But the main thing about temperance is self-control. And that we have the ability to control our emotions, to control our actions, to control what we do. That is part of being temperate. Then he says, sound in faith. Not only that, in charity, in patience. These aged men, they're to be grave, temperate. They're to be secure in the faith. They know what they believe. They know what the Word of God says. They can show kindness to people. I tell you, there's a lot of men that lack kindness. They lack charity. They lack empathy. Empathy is something that is changing a whole lot in our world. We're seeing a great decline in empathy and being able to have compassion upon people. But that needs to be, and it needs to be not. Notice he's talking to men here, and this is something that we're supposed to have. That we need to have this charity, also this patience. Patience. People don't respond when we respond. People don't do what we want to do when we want to do it. I think that's one of the greatest qualifications for a minister. I've talked to many ministers time and again. In fact, there was an ordination yesterday. Brother Reach Bazar is now the pastor at McHenry Church, and he was ordained yesterday. Thankful for that. But, you know, I tell some of these young ministers, one of the greatest things that you're going to have as a minister is patience. Because you can preach all day long, but that don't mean people are going to change instantly. You can say the right things and teach the right things and proclaim the right things, but then you have to give people time to grow. And so patience is going to be a great quality. And so for the aged men in the church, one of the qualities that they need to show to the others as an example is patience. The aged women likewise, and of course, likewise means the things that are good for the men, also good for the ladies there. But the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers. That does a lot of damage when somebody makes an accusation without evidence. Don't need to do that. Need to wait, hear the evidence, see what comes to pass, not false accusers. Not given to much wine, again, not becoming under drunkenness, being sober-minded people. Teachers of good things. I have found a lot of people that teach bad. Sadly, even in churches. I know it would be hard to believe, but I have actually seen women in churches go to the younger women and tell them they need to dress more provocatively to get the attention of a man. It's the exact opposite of what needs to be taught. You know, they're saying, you know, when you're young, you need to get their attention. Show a little leg. Do this. And I'm like, no. In fact, I believe when those things are found out, they need to be dealt with by the church. That's just, that's horrible teaching. But yet, you'll find it even in Landmark Missionary Baptist churches. You'll find teaching of the ways of the world. You'll find teaching of, you know, oh, you need to be focused on your career, and you need to be focused on money, and you need to be focused on doing what's happy, and all these things. That's not the good things. Notice, that's not the end of a sentence there. It's about to go into some good things. And some of the good things is they may teach the young women to be sober. There's that word again. And I can't tell you over the years, and it's both men and women, the damage that I've seen alcohol and drugs have on families. It's done a number. And it's because people think, well, I owe it to myself and I should be able to enjoy things. Alcohol and drugs are not enjoyable. They're detrimental. I've actually gone to funerals of people because of drugs. And I'm talking people that were younger than I am now. It is a sad thing to see those things in people's lives. So you teach the younger women to be sober. They don't need all those other things. Notice this, to love their husbands. Their husband. Isn't that an important thing? Y'all ever come across a lot of women that complain about their husbands or men that complain about their wives? Just grumble and complain. I'm not talking about a little joke or something like that every now and then. We all do a little joke every now and then. I'm talking about, I've heard men just belittle their wives in public. And I've seen women, I've even seen it just outside of the church. While people are talking, that the women say, yeah, well, my husband, he doesn't know anything. My husband's stupid. Who did you marry? How in the world can you talk that way about somebody, especially in public? And knowing that that's your own flesh, that's your own family, I don't understand that. But the elder women are not to teach them to look down upon their husbands or to belittle their husbands, but to love their husbands, to love their children. We live in such a sinful age, there's people that don't even love their children right. You know, it aggravates me when I hear somebody say, well, you should act more like this child over here. You should be like this person. No. I want them to be like the Lord. I want them to be like somebody else's child. I pray that my children have never, ever heard me make the statement that I wish they acted like somebody else's child. I've never said that. And I would never say that. I pray by the help of the Lord, I never do. I encourage them to serve the Lord. And my job is to set an example for them to serve the Lord. And they'll see that by how I love my wife. They'll see that by how I desire to spend time with them. Now, there's times when I've got work and I'll say, listen, you know, maybe to Joseph or Rachel, listen, y'all got to wait a minute. I got some stuff I've got to do. Give me a few minutes to get done. But what you're doing and what you're involved in is important to me. I'll be with you as soon as I can. We all have busy lives. We all have things going on. But I love my children. And I'm interested in what they're interested in. And I want to help them as I can. And it's good that it's taught here that, listen, to the younger women, they need to love their husband. They need to love their children. To be discreet. I never feel like I've been able to preach a message the way I see it scripturally of the importance of discretion. And we live in a world that the word discretion is almost left out. It's almost non-existent. Especially with a lot of people with the social media and everything. That they think if they're having an argument in their marriage that everybody else needs to throw in an opinion on it. That doesn't help things. That's like throwing gas on a fire. That is very damaging. When a couple is having difficulties, the people that they need to be focused on is them and their relationship. Not taking their pain and sharing it with the rest of the world. There are people you might need to talk to and you might need to get some help with and different things. Those things are good, but discretion is a key thing. And I'll tell you this much, I appreciated it in my mother and father growing up. My mistakes were not broadcast to everybody. And I'm not talking about if I made a big thing that was well known. I'm talking about like if I got a spanking, nobody else really knew about it. You know, that was handled between me, my mom, and dad. That was it. my punishments, my failures, they weren't just let out there in the world. But more so, I'll say this. My mom and dad's business weren't even told to us kids a lot of times. You know, Dad might tell us, listen, we're going to have to cut back on a few things. We got some bills we're working on. He might make mention of that. But I really didn't know the family's finances. I didn't. That was something that he and Mama took care of together. He might tell me, you know, we might not can do as much right now. We're just going to make some cuts for a time, get back on track. But I didn't know what all that was about. I didn't know that was because, you know, I don't know. I could name a lot of different reasons, but I didn't always know all the details. Mom and Dad kept even their arguments between Mom and Dad. I mean, I might hear them arguing sometimes. I might hear them get upset at each other sometimes. That's going to happen. Mom and Dad didn't come to me with all their business and start throwing it all on me. And I'll definitely tell you this, they didn't go out in public and share their business with everybody else. That discretion goes a long way. We live in a society today that people talk about everything they do. My goodness, they try to share everything they do. I've even been on job sites with people that I have had to ask them to be quiet because I didn't want to know all their business. And some of it getting very deep into their business. And I'm going, I don't need to hear all this. Discretion is a great thing that's taught in Scripture. And I'll even say this, it's important in the ministry. It is important that when y'all tell me some of your business, and I know that's part of my role, is to hear some of your business, to pray with you. But I pray that I'm always discreet with your business. That I keep that between me and you. Again, that's an important aspect of a minister, is to one, be able to be trusted with sensitive information. That discretion is very important. I've always been appreciative that I've had a wife that has been very discreet. And she also understands that there's times that people tell me things that I'm not even allowed to share with her. And she's always appreciated that. She's not with me today, so y'all can tell her I talked well of her later. But discretion is such a key part of life. And it's part of those good things that we carry in life. I've even taught my son, he sometimes has hears some information and feels like he's got to share it, as a lot of children will do. And I've told him, I said, son, I said, there's people that are going to come to you sometime and they need you to keep a secret. And I said, and that discretion of knowing what to say and what not to say is very important in life. That's how you gain trust with friends, isn't it? To be discreet. Here's a good word, chaste. Oh, there's another word that's almost disappeared from society, isn't it? Chaste. There's some things that are so valuable, but they're only valuable in a certain place, aren't they? More people need to be chaste. Need to control themselves. Then there's this part that I know a lot of people try to argue and keep about, but it's right here in the Word of God, keepers at the home. Now that doesn't mean that a woman's at home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But she is the keeper of it. That's something that's argued a lot in our day and time, sadly, in churches, and it's as doctrinal as it gets. What's the value of a good woman that takes care of a home? I can't put a value on that, can you? It's more than gold, it's more than silver, it's more than rubies according to Scripture. It's of a great price. I would say it's priceless. And yet there's a lot of women that don't understand that important role. But the Bible teaches it. And you know, you live this. Let me deal with this. Being somebody that desires a quiet and peaceable life. I've seen a lot of women looked down on in churches because they just desire to be a wife and a mother. And I hate when people say just, and that, because that's a huge role, to be a wife and a mother. And I believe it's one of the most important roles in all society. The value of a good wife and a good mother, again, is something of such tremendous price. The Bible puts a great price on it. When you're talking about a family that desires and people that desire to live a quiet and peaceable life, a lot of that gets into the family and, you know, wishing the world would just leave them alone and wishing that the woman could just be the wife and the mother and just take care of that home and take care of her family and that she desires to do those things. I'll tell you what, having a good home to come to after dealing with the things of this world makes all the difference in the world. And all the sinfulness that we deal with out in the world, to have a place of refuge like a good home, a place of peace, a place of comfort, a place of unity that's serving the Lord and honoring Him. I don't know what you can put the value on that at. And it doesn't matter if that home's an apartment. It doesn't matter if that home is a single-wide trailer, a double-wide trailer, a single-story house, a two-story house, a mansion. It doesn't matter. A home. A peaceful home where love is. I tell you what, that's a special thing that very few people get to experience in our day and time. Used to be a lot of people did, because we desired that contented life with the Lord. We desired that quiet and peaceable life. We desired the things that were more important than money or fame or all these other things. And He says, I want to teach these good things. Discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And that obedient, it doesn't mean you always agree with your husband. But if you don't have Bible to go against it and you can't say that he's going against the Lord, you submit to it, even if you disagree. That creates an order in the home. It creates an order about family. It teaches an order to the children. It does a lot more than people realize. And it has nothing to do with the man being better than the woman or anything of that nature. It's about a line that God has set up. He created the man in His own image. He created the woman for the man. It's just the order that God set in Scripture. And it's submitting to that order. And when you're submitting to, when a wife submits herself to her husband, when a man submits himself unto his family, that's an obedience to God, not just the individual. We live in a world today where people are like, I don't want to be tied down. I don't want marriage. And I don't want all these other things. Name me something better. Better than money is marriage. Better than money is a family. Better than money is a small place that you call home. Where there's family, where there's love, where there's a focus on godliness and honesty and focusing on what's most important in life. Raising our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Being there for one another. Walking together in the Lord. This quiet and peaceable life. Most of the world would say, y'all just want a simple life. That I do. I seek a simple life for everything that's within me. That I can just serve God and honor Him. These are good things to teach. He said that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you, living a life above reproach. That's the kind of life we should strive for. And the job title that you have doesn't matter, does it? The income you have doesn't matter. That's not the most important things, is it? Prestige, respect, how many people like you in the world and how popular you are. All these things that the world tries to focus on and thinks that's important. The Bible teaches us something else. I love that the Bible teaches us the value of things like hard work, honesty, integrity. For us men, loving our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That there's something more important than us in this world. I tell you, if there's anything I would love to teach a lot of God's people, is that we seek a quiet and peaceable life. We seek to be a good neighbor. We seek to love others as ourselves. But we're not out here trying to gain prestige for ourselves. We're not out here trying to get in arguments with everybody and win everything that we're in. We just want to work hard. And whatever we have, we're thankful for. We look at our family and we see the value in that. Whether that's a husband looking at his wife, whether that's a wife looking at her husband, whether that's the children looking at their parents or the parents the children. That we understand what's good, what's important, what's really valuable. Gold and silver go away. They just do. Fame, prestige, popularity, all these things are not where the value is. But there is a lot of value in a quiet and peaceable life. Of hard work and honesty, godliness, serving God, and having a clear conscience between you and God. That has value. And again, I don't preach against somebody having money or having none. That's not the focus of the message. Or somebody being known by many in the world or not being known. That's not the focus. The focus is wherever we're at in life, that our focus, our number one priority is serving God. And honoring what He has taught us in His Word. And today I want to ask us, as we leave here today, what's important to you? What's valuable to you? Where's your joy at in life? What do you consider the good things that you're looking after in life and you're chasing after and going after? For everything gained in life, there's something lost. We better make sure that we're investing in the right things. And the Bible teaches us what those good things are. What the real important things are. And the emphasis you'll find throughout the Scriptures, you'll find the emphasis on how to be a godly father, a godly mother. The importance of marriage, the importance of that family, the importance of the home. The importance of within that home being focused on honoring and pleasing the Lord. Those are the things that we need to make sure that we got right. Because if we'll put first the kingdom of heaven, then all these other things shall be added unto us. But even when we're talking to people in life, we need to be careful with our words and our speech. I've had a lot of people, even within churches, especially I can remember back to my teenage years, that told me all kinds of things that would be important in life. I had very few that referred me to Titus chapter 2. Or 1 Timothy. It's easy to get our hearts and our minds on the things that are not near as important. There are things that are valuable. And I'll even say this in closing. There's probably some people over the years that will make fun of me of how I raise my children. I'm constantly trying to prepare my children for adulthood. I'm trying to prepare my son to be a man. I'm trying to prepare my daughter to be a lady. And within that, let me tell you what I believe in that. I believe in raising my son to find a godly woman that he will love all the days of his life. And I emphasize to him over and over again, it's for life. Take your time. Make sure you find the right person that God wants for you. Understand your responsibilities that you will have to provide for your family, to teach them. And you can't teach unless you first learn. So the emphasis is on studying God's Word, meditating upon God's Word, living God's Word. To my daughter, I don't teach her about different careers and other things. I'm encouraged by the things that she likes and the things that she enjoys. But I teach her about being a wife. I teach her about the importance of cleaning up her room, keeping a good, and taking care of your responsibilities, picking up after yourself. And I teach that to my son, too. But I tell them the importance of creating a godly home. Because that's going to be important one day, isn't it? Make sure you love people, forgive people, help people. And you start by taking care of your own responsibilities. That's a great way to help others. Work hard. Don't be focused on the entertainment of this world. Be focused on the work that God has given us. If you do that, there's a time that God lets us enjoy some other things. But our focus is on doing the things that are important first. There are so many that are missing so much today, and they don't know what they've let go of. They don't know of what they may have gained in gold and silver and some of the other things in the world, but they're missing out on a lot of other things that are more important. Today, we need to remember to teach them the good things, to teach them the important things in life. Because if they miss out on that, everything else really doesn't matter. We as God's people seek a quiet and peaceable life. We seek to love our families. We seek to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what we seek. That's what should bring us joy. And we seek to share the gospel with others so that they could desire a quiet and peaceable life and know what the real joy of having a good relationship with God and our family is. A quiet and peaceable life. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come while I have a verse of a song.